It's easy to sing when everything is going our way and it all is peachy and easy and everybody's happy, and but it's when the wheels start falling off, as we sometimes describe it, that God still wants to hear us sing. And the only way that we can do that is if God is the source of our song. And so that's so important. And praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. With the new year comes thoughts about starting over here and evaluations of the previous year in our life. Some of the goals maybe we had set for ourselves. Did we meet those goals? And what are our goals for this new year? Some people call them new year resolutions. They make them, they break them, but hopefully some are kept. For 2021, our church had a theme, and I always think about when we come to a new year, you know, what is our theme for the new year as we approach it? For 2021, if you remember, it's be the one in 2021. God wanted us to stand up and be counted as one of His, and He sought for a man who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And I preached a message about that, including that verse. And He still seeks those that will stand for Him today, even if it means standing alone. And so the question remains for 2021, and for any year it is true, are you the one for God? Did God speak your heart about standing for Him? And that's so important for us to contemplate. And if you're not made that decision, then will you be the one that He can count on? I just saw Elizabeth over here. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
About to pop. But do any day now. Today's the new day. Okay. I'm going to preach hard. So if you get up and go, we'll know what's going on. But praise the Lord you're able to be here. I've been thinking about you. But for 2022, Vicki and I, my wife and I, racked our brains for a while there saying, you know, what rhymes with 22? Ashley gave us a good idea, something she's using in her class at school, pursue in 2022. And so for our church theme here for 2022, I picked Endeavor to Pursue for 2022. And I want to preach a message today that deals with this, because it's a very important, I believe, subject matter to entertain. And actually, there are four parts to this pursuing in 2022. The first one I would put is that we need to seek to pursue in 2022. What do I mean by that? Well, if you don't know what's involved with pursuing the Lord, if you don't know what's involved with pursuing His goals for you, how can you possibly meet it? And so we must investigate and learn what it is and what it means to pursue and what all it involves to achieve what God has for us. Secondly, we need to have a desire. It doesn't matter how much you know about what God wants you to attain as a goal. If you don't have a desire to do it, you're not going to follow through. And so it's important for us not just to know what we are to do, but we are to have a desire. This is to be our motivation. Thirdly, we are to endeavor, as our main theme is, to pursue. That comes with the putting forth of the effort to attain the goals that God has for us. You've heard the statement, no pain, no gain. Well, if there is no effort, no pain, no effort, there's no gain. So we must put forth the effort to be able to accomplish them. And then fourth, there must also be a determination. We are to be determined to pursue in 2022. This determination should be in effect for the entire year. It's not just a theme that we have for this Sunday. It's not just a theme for January, but for the entire year. And can I be honest with you? For your entire life as a believer. That's what God wants for us. I'll show you that here in just a little bit. But we are to be determined. We're to have a zeal to stick to it there to continue for the entire year of 2022. So in reviewing a little bit there, I would just put seek to pursue God's goal for your life. Desire to have God to work where? In you. And then thirdly, endeavor with great effort and God's help to achieve it. And then certainly be determined to continue throughout the year. That's our goal, to endeavor to pursue in 2022. Now, getting into this particular passage, I believe this is a classic passage that deals with this very subject. And before we get any further in it, let's ask God's blessing and direction. Father, we know that you've laid this upon our hearts and you've opened the door for this particular subject matter this morning and for our year to have as an emphasis. And I pray that we would understand not only the details of what we're talking about, but Lord, that you would give us a great desire and that we would be willing to put forth the effort to pursue what you have for us this morning. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to understand these things through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would guide me as I seek to share what you've laid upon my heart, that I would be able to do so very clearly and plainly, that we could understand how to step forward. And Lord, I pray that through all of this, you would be glorified. Thank you for what you will accomplish today in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is God's goal for you in 2022? Wednesday night, if you were not here, you missed this. And I'm not going to do it again. So you just missed it, okay? That's why you're supposed to be here. But we talked a little bit about God's goals for us and some of the major goals that he would have for us. But I'm going to say that to answer this question this morning, what is God's goal for you in 2022? Well, it depends on who you are. Let me explain. I'm not talking about individuals in that way this morning. I'm talking about groups. There are two groups of people, possibly, that are here today. And we would call them saved. And I don't like the word or term lost, but that's what's been kind of assigned to that. Let me explain what I mean. By lost, I'm talking about a person that has not yet come to a point in their life where they've made a choice to receive what Jesus Christ did as their payment of sin. See, we understand the scripture tells us that all of us have sinned. We've all fall short of God's perfect standard, His glorious standard for us. None of us can achieve it. Nobody has ever been able to achieve it. God knew that from the very beginning before He ever created mankind. That's why from before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was planned to be slain. And so God continued to bring about His plan. And when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4:4 tells us, God sent forth His Son, born, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. He sent forth, at what we celebrated as Christmas here, the Lord Jesus Christ, being born of the Virgin Mary, not having a sin nature of His own, never having sinned Himself, so that He could be the perfect substitute for us to pay for our sin. You see, God is a holy and just God that can never just overlook sin. He can never just sweep it under the rug. There must be a payment of sin. And the wages of sin, God says, is death. Not just dying physically, being separated from God in a place of torment called hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. But that's why we read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's what that word is talking about. Should not have to die and go to hell and pay for their sins themselves, but have everlasting life with God in heaven. That's what God did because He loved us. He provided a payment through His Son. And when we, as a person, realize when we're born in this world, we're born as sinners in this world, we have a sin nature, and we also choose to sin. I've never known any person that says otherwise, even as a young child. How many of you know, and you probably didn't realize, remember yourself, but you've had children, and you never had to teach them how to lie. Did you break that? Did you eat that cookie?
No. Crumbs all over my face.
Never. We have to be taught to tell the truth. But we're sinners, born that way. And we choose to sin. And because of that, we are born into this world headed to hell under God's judgment. And if we do not come to a point in our life where we realize what God has given us in His Son Jesus Christ, and we make that choice to receive Him, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. We've got to believe what He has done. Believe that He has paid it all. And by faith, we make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And immediately, our sins are removed from us forever. We're given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we're made ready for God's heaven. We're made ready not just for God's heaven in the future, but we're made ready right now to be able to worship Him together, to serve Him. And that's all a part of what God is doing. And we'll get into more in just a moment here. But for a person that has never made that choice, God's will for you today is that you would be saved, that you would make that choice. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:4, speaking of God our Savior, it says, who will have all men to be saved. Who will have? His will is that all men, all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth, he goes on to say, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, all of mankind, and that one mediator is Jesus Christ. And that is what we've been explaining here with salvation. And so he is willing for a lost person, a person never having trusted Christ, today God wants and has a goal for you that you would make the choice today before you leave to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, secondly, there are those that we say are saved. They already made that choice. I think that's the majority of you in here. You've already made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You know Him personally as your Lord, and we praise the Lord for that. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, by the way, is my favorite chapter in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, let me explain. You know, when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit of God baptizes us or places us into, immerses us into the body of Christ. We are in Christ. That's in position. And so today, when God the Father looks at Randy Blackwell, he does not see the sin of Randy Blackwell because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees the fact that I am in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. And so we have the security that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's the salvation being in Christ Jesus he's talking about. So he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what comes next? He is a new creature, a new creation. Peter describes it as God gives us a new nature within us. He calls it a divine nature. And so we have been made a new creature. And immediately, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the Greek, it's in the present tense. In other words, soon as I get saved, God begins a work in me and in you to take the old things, the unnecessary things. Some of them may be sin. Some of it may be the besetting sin. It may be other sin. And He begins to remove those things from our life. And sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it's just things that slow us down. The weight that's described in Scripture. And He gets rid of that in our life so, because it's impeding our progress toward His goal. And so God is doing a process of getting rid of things in our life, pruning those things out that are dead or that are not producing fruit as it should. And then God is bringing in new things into our life in the same process. And that is that growth toward something. And that's what we want to identify. What is the something? What is the goal that God is producing us toward? Well, I believe that goal is identified over in Romans chapter 8. We dealt with this a little bit Wednesday night. But you know, in Romans chapter 8, most people are familiar with verse 28 where it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All right, let's pick up on the purpose then. The next verse, what is that purpose? For whom He did foreknow, the ones that He knew in advance were going to get saved, He also did predestinate. The word predestinate simply means to predetermine. God has made a predetermined goal for us. What is that predetermined goal? He says in verse 28, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what is that thing that we are to be pursuing after? It is to be Christ-like. It is to be made into the image of Jesus Christ. And God, from the day that I get saved and you get saved until the day that we die or the rapture takes place, He is going to work that work in us. That is what He desires. And we are to be submitting ourselves to that process. We want to be submitting ourselves constantly to that process because none of us are perfect. We have not attained unto that. As we'll see in a moment, neither had the Apostle Paul. But he was pressing toward that mark. And so we have then a goal that God has predetermined for us. And that goal is the conformity to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That goal is something there in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 6 that he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue to work in us in that. In chapter 2 verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are so blessed that not only does God give us a goal, but he says, I'm going to work in you both to desire that goal and to attain that goal.
Amen.
We have a God that's right here to help us.
Amen.
And it can be done. God will work on us and he will make us into the image of Jesus Christ. We'll never attain to it perfectly until we see the Lord Jesus, according to 1 John chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 2. But when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. We praise the Lord for that confidence. So what is God's goal for you if you've never trusted Christ? It is to trust Christ as Savior today. If you are saved, then God is working in you and He is identifying that goal. First of all, knowledge of what it is and how do we attain it there. And then secondly, we need to desire it. So let's look at these lists. How do you attain, how do you achieve God's goal for you? And as I said, it's four things in that outline that we looked at. The first one was that we had to have a knowledge. Pursuing God's goal requires learning what Christ is like. I've said so many times, y'all know this, right? You know where I'm going. You can't do what you don't know. Duh. You can't please God if you don't know what pleases Him. You can't be like Jesus Christ if you don't know what Jesus Christ is like. Right here we have it. He has told us what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. He was talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are they that testify of me, Jesus said. And obviously the New Testament Scriptures testify of Him. But we have, where am I going here with this? I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Look over to our sanctification verse. I won't tell you where it is, because y'all already know that, right? Told you that it's coming in reckoning day. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Maybe this is the year that you will make that verse your life verse, because this is where we live every day of our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, all right, we've unveiled and we're open, beholding as in a glass, all right, here's the glass, the mirror of God's word. What are we beholding in the mirror of God's word? The glory of the Lord. How do we view the glory of the Lord? Because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the glory. We see His perfection. We see the characteristics. We see all of what He is about and for. and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from one step to the next, even by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, shows us the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He changes us into the same image from one step to the next as we submit ourselves to that process. We submit ourselves to what the Lord sees. Like I said, you can't just see what Jesus is like and expect it automatically going to become you. You've got to submit yourself to say, Lord, I want to be like Him. I want Him living through me. I want other people, when they see me, to see Jesus Christ. That ought to be a desire, because that's God's desire for us. Pursuing God's goal requires learning what Christ is like. Secondly, pursuing God's goal requires a desire for Christ's likeness. Verse 12 there in Philippians chapter 3. He talks about that he has not attained. It's not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I press toward the mark, in verse 14 he says. I haven't attained. If the Apostle Paul hadn't attained, I guarantee you I haven't attained. We haven't attained. I don't think any of us would think that we're perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ. That bumper sticker that says something about, you know, God is still working on me. That's us. That's where we are. But we better be letting Him work on us. Follow after means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing. It was used figuratively as one that runs a race swiftly in order to attain the goal. So how does this relate to desire? Well, I want to tell you something. You know this. It's been correctly observed that people do what they want to do. I know that shocks some of you. People do what they want to do. So, for you to choose to follow after Christ-likeness, you've got to want to do that. You've got to desire it in your life. Do you desire to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? If I ask that question to believers today, how many believers, don't put your hands up, but how many of you think believers would raise their hands? That's what I would think. I would hope. But you know what? Another saying that you are very familiar with? Actions speak louder than words. We can say, amen, Pastor, that's what I want. I have a desire to follow Christ. We'll put some feet to it. Let's see where we are. Then thirdly, here comes the feet. Pursuing God's goal requires effort in order to achieve. That's what endeavoring to pursue in 2022 is talking about. Endeavoring, putting forth the effort for that transformation that God wants to do. It's seen there in verses 13 and 14. And brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, let's unpack it a little bit here. To press toward the mark. The word mark is a word that we get the word scope, like a telescope, a scope on a rifle. When you look through a scope like that, you see the target. You see the end goal, we could say. The distant mark that's looked at. Hebrews 12:2. What does it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just before that, it told us that because of all of these faithful testimonies, witnesses that we have in chapter 11, and God testified of their faithfulness. They weren't perfect, but they were faithful. They had faith. They walked by faith, not by sight, for the most part. And so they were good examples to us. Seeing that we have all of these witnesses, these testimonies of faith, let us lay aside both the besetting sin and the weight, and let us run with patience, with endurance, with faithfulness, consistency, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, having him as our scope, what we're looking at. Again, where do we look at Jesus? Right here in his word, the glory of the Lord. Amen. And so we have this important understanding that we must look. Dr. Warren Wiersbe made this statement. He says, one thing, and this is what Paul wrote here, is this: one thing I do. Warren Wiersbe wrote, it says, one thing is a phrase that is important in Christian life. One thing thou lackest, said Jesus to the self-righteous rich young ruler in Mark 10. One thing is needful, he explained to busy Martha when she criticized her sister in Luke 10. One thing I know, exclaimed the man who had received his sight by the power of Christ in John 9. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, testified the psalmist in Psalm 27:4. And then Wiersbe went on to say, he says, too many Christians are too involved with many things when the secret to progress is to concentrate on one thing. This year, could we make a goal? Just one goal. May I be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Make me more like him. That should be our focus, our concentration. Looking unto Jesus. Pressing toward that mark, that goal for us. The word press toward means to bear down. Here's the idea of that effort that we're talking about. So pursuing God requires effort in order to achieve, endeavoring to pursue in 2022. And then last, pursuing God, God's goal for us requires determination. Determination to continue. We should pursue Christ-likeness throughout the entire year, and as I've already made clear, throughout the rest of our lives. This is what God is all about with us. This is what he wants to accomplish through us. If we get this right, a lot of other things in the Christian life fall in together just perfectly. But if we're missing this, it's so hard to get everything else to fit. And so it is important for us to get it right. Have a determination to continue. It's not just common sense. We'll never attain perfection until we see Christ. But one day, we'll have a glorified body. We'll be just like him. Amen. And we look forward to that day. So today, my friend, my friends that are watching on the internet this morning, I ask you, what is God's goal for you? If you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why not trust him right now today? I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm not asking you if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, or that he was raised again the third day. James, the book of James tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. But they're not going not saved. Just believing is not enough. Romans 10 tells us in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then it asks that question. It says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? So believing is important. You got to believe that you're a sinner. You got to believe that Jesus died is the provision. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? See, faith, as it goes on in verse 17, says, comes by hearing, specifically the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher or proclaimer? Go ye into all the world, Jesus said, and be the proclaimer of the truth of the gospel, that he came to save them. And that's what we're to do. So if you're here today, or if you're watching online, and you've never made the choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, why not right now pause and say, Lord, I didn't truly understand until right now, but that is my desire. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And immediately, that salvation takes place if you're genuine. And so I invite you to do that. That's what God wants for you if you've never made that choice. Secondly, for those of us that have made that choice already, God wants to do that work in us to change us to be more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you continue to seek to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got seeking, number one. Secondly, do you have the desire to pursue him, that purpose that he wants to do in you? Thirdly, will you put forth the effort to attain into that purpose? It takes the effort. Will you seek to stick to it as God enables you through his power? Will you be determined to finish? Lehman Strauss made this statement. He said told this story. He said, in a small churchyard at the foot of one of the great mountains in Switzerland, the body of a young Englishman who was killed while making an ascent is buried. On the tombstone, under his name and the dates of his birth and death, the following inscription was carved. He died climbing. I hope it can be said of every one of us as believers, he died pursuing the likeness of Christ. That should be our goal. That should be our burden, our desire, our passion. Not just this year, but always. Endeavor to pursue in 2022. Father, I pray that as we have heard the truth of your word, as we have been confronted with this particular subject, as you've given us a life in this new year, and as we are present this day, either in person or online, I pray that you would help us to evaluate ourselves to see where we are and what you want for us. And if salvation, I pray that that would be made this morning, the choice to receive Christ. If we're saved, Lord, that we would submit to the process and say, Lord, I know I need to learn more about what Jesus Christ is like. And I want the desire, and I thank you that you will work in me both the will and to do of your good pleasure. And I pray, Lord, that as we have that desire and we want to accomplish that, that you would help us to discipline ourselves to put forth the effort to endeavor to pursue the image of Jesus Christ this year. And with determination, we will continue to throughout the year and throughout our lives. Thank you, Father, for this truth, and I pray that we would take it to heart, that we may please you as we seek to walk worthy of the calling in which you've given us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.